I turned to Drover. Do you hear something?
What?
I said, do you hear something?
Well, I hear your voice, and birds, and a war going on.
That's not a war, you imbecile. That's little Alfred playing trucks. Do you hear horses' hooves?
Well, let's see. No, I don't. Oh, yeah, I do. Sure do. Sounds just like... Oh, my gosh, Hank. Do you reckon it could be...
Yes, of course. At last, the pieces of the puzzle are falling into place, for you see, Drover, there are no other horses in the home pasture. It's Tuerto, the killer stud horse.
Oh, my gosh! He might hurt those girls!
Not while we still have a breath left in our respective bodies, Drover.
I'd kind of like to save my breath. And anyway, this old leg's starting to act up on me again and...
Come on, son. This is red alert, then code 3, all rolled into one. Stand by for blast-off. Stand by to initiate attack formation. Stand by for heavy-duty barking mode.
I'll sure bark, Hank, but...
Ready? Blast-off. Hit the grit. Let's go. Stay behind me and stand by for further orders.
Well...
I went zooming across the yard, past the iris bed, past that big hackberry tree there on the south side of the house. When I came to the yard fence, I leaped upward and outward and became airborne. Behind me, I heard Drover call out,
Hank, I don't think I can jump the fence. It's too tall in my leg.
There wasn't time to fool around with Drover. Up ahead, I could see Tuerto pounding across the pasture, his mane and tail flying in the wind, his gotch eye a reflection of his gotch heart. He was heading straight for my girls, who had caught up with Pete and were trying to get him out of the nightgown. I began barking. Run, girls, run! I'll cover for you. Run for the house! Instead of running, they looked up, saw the horse pounding down on them, and froze. The very worst thing they could have done. But Pete, who was always quick to size up a situation and take good care of Pete, suddenly turned into a hissing, spitting, yowling little buzzsaw. He broke away from the girls and went sprinting for the nearest tree. Puerto was getting closer now. He began to buck and snort. He pinned back his ears and showed his teeth and headed straight for the poor, frightened little girls. My original battle plan had called for me to initiate a defensive maneuver, to draw Tuerto's attention to me, in other words. I had hoped to distract him using my amazing quickness and speed to stay out of range of his hooves while the girls made a run for the house. But when I barked and tried to draw his attention, he only laughed and kept going.
No, little Dougie, I don't want you. I want these girls.
I had to scratch that plan. I was in the process of trying to come up with another when I heard Ashley scream. Little Ashley of the clear blue eyes, little Ashley of the rose petal hands. Then Amy let out a scream.
Ah!
Well, hey, there's a time to make strategy and there's a time to fight for what's right and good in this world, never mind the consequences. When I was convinced that Tuerto wasn't going to let up on his attack, I abandoned all plans and went after him. No one-eyed stud horse was gonna beat up my girls. I got to him just seconds before he reached them, and I gave him a pile driver attack that he couldn't ignore. I didn't fool around, fellas. I went for his throat. When they outweigh you by 1,000 pounds, you don't go for hocks or flanks or noses. You go for something they can't live without. I went flying through the air and sank my teeth into his throat. That shut him down. All at once, he wasn't thinking about beating on a couple of little girls, because he had 57 pounds of killer cow dog chewing on his vital parts. He slid to a stop, reared up on his back legs, pawed the air with his front hooves, and gave his head a mighty toss. I held on as long as I could, and then he threw me off. I hit the ground and bounced right back, and before he could strike the girls, I put myself in the middle, and there I stood, bristled up like a boar coon, growling, barking, showing fangs, giving him the whole 9 yards of threatening gestures. By this time, the girls had gotten over their shock and were cheering me on.
Get him, Hank! Bite him! Go away, you mean old horse!
Well, hey, I was proud to have someone cheering me on, but I wanted them girls to make a run for the yard while I was still able to fight Tuerto off of them. I guess the little scamps didn't want to leave me there alone. Just then, Grandma came out on the front porch and screamed.
Ah!
She told the girls to run for the house, and she came out in her long dress and grandma shoes, yelling, "Scat! Hike! Go away!" Tuerto got a big laugh out of that. And while he was yucking it up, I made another dive for his throat. Bullseye! And while he was slinging me around, the girls made a run for the house. Grandma met him at the gate, gathered him up, pushed him into the yard, and slammed the gate shut. Then Tuerto turned to me. Our eyes met, my two and his one.
Little Dougie, you spoil my fun so much. Now I must kill you. Never have I killed a dog who was wearing a dress.
I had forgotten about the dress. Well, this is your big chance, Gotch Eye.
It will not take long, you will see. One quick hit with my hoof, and you will be no more.
Oh, yeah? That was the best reply I could think of. Oftentimes you think of these snappier replies the next day. I hadn't planned to get myself drawn into a fight. I mean, I had gotten my gals out of the combat zone and finished my rescue mission and was ready to call it a day. But just then, Grandma ventured back outside, picked up a rock, and threw it at Tuerto.
You hateful thing! Go away from here this very minute!
He made a move towards her. She squealed, snatched her dress up to her knees, and sprinted back into the yard, her grandma's shoes clacking on the gravel. Just for a second there, I let my attention lapse. I was watching Grandma instead of Tuerto, and he seized on the opportunity. Before I knew it, he had clubbed me over the head with a hoof. I saw stars and moons and checkers and flashes and colored lights. I was stunned. I knew I had to run, but my legs had turned to water. My knees gave out. For a moment, I couldn't move, and he hit me again, this time with both hooves. I could feel myself being pulled into a dark wave, but then I heard my girls calling my name.
Hank! Hank! Get up before he hurts you! Run!
I fought against the darkness. I pushed myself up on all fours and weaved from side to side. I tried to growl and noticed that blood was dripping from my mouth. Tuerto went up on his back legs and sent down another storm of hooves. One got me on the ear. It hurt so bad I began to wonder how I would look with only one ear. But then I fought back. I got a bite on his upper leg and bore down. He shook me loose, but I came away with a piece of skin and the taste of blood. I couldn't tell if it was my blood or his, but it was definitely his skin. Well, that made him mad. He went up on his back legs again and loaded up for another round.
Run, Hank! Run!
Honey, child, I'd be glad to run. But these old legs have just quit me. I collapsed and watched the hooves come down. I felt the first one and heard the bone in my back leg snap like a twig. After that, I didn't feel a thing and heard no more. The great cold darkness moved around me and began to carry me away.